If a person visits the Elephanta Caves in India, which are one of the wonders of the world, and open to anyone who wants to go there, if you go to google.com and you click on images rather than web, you click on images, and if you type in Elephanta, elephant with an A at the end, with a capital, you'll get a lot of pictures of Elephanta Caves, which go on and on. But the main feature of the Elephanta Caves, which go on, the main feature the centerpiece of it, so to speak, is a Shiva. He kind of rules the Elephanta Caves. And there's one lingam in the center of these caves, which go on seemingly endlessly. Right in the center chamber of these caves is a tall lingam, and it's surrounded by 28 other smaller ones in a circle. So you got these 28 lingams in a circle, and in the middle of that circle you got one great big lingam. And this represents, let's say a student walks in there, and there are these 28 lingams with one in the middle. A student walks in, is looking at that, and if the student has a teacher and the teacher knows the mysteries, then the teacher will point out that those 28 lingams in a circle are aspects of oneself that have to be mastered before one can approach the lingam in the middle. So there are 28 fundamental obstacles. But if one can get through them all, then you get to meet Shiva in the middle. Otherwise, there's no meeting Shiva, because you got 1 to 28 things in your way. Or we do. You know. So a lot of Western Orientalists in the 19th century, when they started being exposed to Shiva in his symbols, immediately, you know, pre-Freudian, post-Freudian, immediately knew that all these lingam were like phalluses, therefore worship of Shiva is phallic worship. To say that misses the point is to put it mildly. But, you know, as they say, as a Hindu sage said, we see what we want to see. So that's what they wanted to see, and they saw it. The Hindu sage who said, we see what we want to see, also said, went on to say, eliminate the want, and you'll see what is. Otherwise, we just see what we want to see. And that's why witnesses of an accident all tell a different story of the same thing they all saw, much to the police's horror, because you get the question, what really happened then? Well, you got to ask Shiva, you know. So there's something called the Hindu Trimurti. The Hindu Trimurti is Trimurti. It means three, you know. And the Hindu Trimurti are the highest three gods in the Hindu pantheon, composed of 93,000 gods and goddesses. And Rama, Vishnu, and Shiva are the Hindu Trimurti. Brahma, and these are called gods. But bear in mind that these three gods in the Trimurti each represent a certain collection of forces. So they're symbolic. So Brahma represents the collection of forces involved in the beginning of anything. If something comes into being, that represents, there is a manifestation of the forces called Brahma. So every time we take a breath, there's a beginning, that's Brahma. When we're born, that's a beginning, that's Brahma. Every beginning is Brahma. It's a certain set of forces. the universe's beginning, Brahma. The life of a firefly beginning, Brahma. So beginnings. Some people are good at beginning. Some people are good at beginnings. Then there's Vishnu. Vishnu, another set of cosmic forces. Vishnu represents preservation. That is to say, when something comes into when something comes into being, it lasts for some duration of time. That's Vishnu. Universe, it lasts for a certain duration. That's Vishnu. You and I, born, we last for a certain duration. That's Vishnu. Everything that has a beginning lasts for some length of time, even if it's only a millisecond, in the case of some of these subatomic particles. So everything that has to do with preserving, maintaining continuity, has to do with Vishnu. And a lot of people are worshippers of Vishnu. The ones who aren't busy starting are busy maintaining, keeping it all going, getting all my ducks in a row finally, now that they've come into being, the ducks. So Vishnu represents, you know, continuity through time. Makes sense. I mean, this isn't some mystical abstract thing. I mean, everything lasts for some length of time. Even a thought comes, lasts for a couple seconds, goes. Some people can hold on to it longer, make it last for 20 minutes. That's called meditation. Then everything has an end. Much to the horror of the American public, you know, that's scared to death of dying. Well, you're going to die. Everything has an end, you know. This talk will have an end. This decade will have an end, you know. There's nothing that's permanent. If you think there is, let someone know what it is. Because the best sages haven't found it, and Einstein didn't find it, something permanent. Some things last a very long time, like solar systems. Astronomers can tell you how long, you know, certain solar systems are going to last in their estimation. It's not permanent.